It is week number two. This is the Bucs Kickoff Podcast on the biggest, baddest, best, no question, Buccaneers site in the world, JoeBucsFan.com. I'm Rock Riley, been at One Buck all week long. Let me give you the inside. Inside, I'm not getting this from the internet. I'm there. I'm seeing, I'm hearing, I'm talking, I'm watching. We also give you the game plan, what's going on in Chicago with the Bears. It's Chicago, it's the Bucs, it's Raymond James Stadium. The Buccaneers come in 1-0, they're feeling good, trying to prove everybody that they're not hearing the outside chatter that they're going to suck this year, that Tom Brady is gone and they're irrelevant. They want to put that narrative to bed. They did a good job. Yeah, they won the turnover battle and that's how they won. It doesn't matter. Was on the road. And meanwhile, Chicago comes in already week number two, desperately to trying to turn this around. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm here every single Buccaneer kickoff week. Every week we go at least 48 hours just to give you the time to get into this podcast, to listen to my under the rock, what I have seen with my own eyes at One Buck Place, what they're saying, both sides, and a whole lot more. I got to tell you, though, my good friends at Bill Curry Ford, they are the place to go with Sean Sullivan if you are looking for a vehicle, be it new, be it used. Real easy to get to, 1 mile north of the stadium in Tampa on Dale Mabry, family-owned since 1960. And when it's family-owned, it does make a difference. GM Sean Sullivan, our good friend, good man, he will help you personally. All you have to do is ask. How do you get a hold of Sean Sullivan? Email him. Go to BillCurryFord.com or, hey, the best way, man, just stop in their beautiful dealership. You can order a new vehicle now. You want to do it online? Start there. BillCurryFord.com. It's so easy. An ordering concierge will be happy to assist you. No deposit, okay? And GM Sean Sullivan will give you a $500 gift card if you just place the order. And when you do it, when you see Sean or you email him or you go there, you got to tell him, hey, I want that Joe Bucs Fan discount, and you will get it. Every new vehicle comes with a nationwide lifetime warranty. So start shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. And tell them I sent you on the Bucs Kickoff Podcast with me, Rock Riley. All right, I am so pumped up for this game. I really, really am. Went and I watched the opener on the road. I was with Sage at Big Storm Brewing. We had a blast with Buccaneer fans. Just a good time with Ira Kaufman, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. And we were looking at each other like, what's going on? Oh my God, this isn't looking good. You know, and Mayfield was under siege. I mean, Flores was bringing the house. He didn't have any time. Some guys were unblocked. What was he, 3 for 11? The way it was starting, it wasn't good. But you know what? They got it done. And to be able to quiet that crowd in Minnesota. Now, I talked to one of the guys that works for the Buccaneers that was there at the stadium, and he told me on Monday, he texted me, he said, it was so loud. And I know they had gotten in trouble in the past for pumping in the crowd noise to make it even louder. And when I was going around that locker room, talking to the offensive players with the Bucs this week, Hainsey, Godwin, they were all saying the same thing. They could not hear anything. Like, if they screamed in to themselves, like they couldn't even hear, let alone the guy next to him, let alone Baker Mayfield. And to play a clean game with a new offensive line in a hostile environment like that, to get that done like that, and the first game that Dave Canales has ever called plays at an NFL level in a hostile environment, that was incredible, man. That really, really was. Now, here's the thing. You going to lay an egg today or Sunday, this game? Are you going to build on that? You know, they're saying all the right things. We shall see. The Bears, it was, you know, oh my God. Talking with some Bears, the fandom, and in Chicago, oh my God. I mean, this was the rivalry against the Packers. this was going to be the year to start off the season. There's no more Aaron Rodgers. Well, there's no more at all for this year, but there was no more Aaron Rodgers. This was going to be the year. Oh, Justin Fields was going to take the next step. Oh, the offensive scheme was going to be better. The defense, they revamped that, this and that, and this and that. And it was the ninth straight time that the Packers were able to beat the Bears. The Packers win 38-20. Green Bay started slow in the first half. Jordan Love with three touchdowns. Aaron Jones ran for a touchdown. He caught one. Green Bay was just, you know, 25-5 over Chicago. Green Bay was 22-10 over Chicago with Favre. It didn't matter if it was Favre. It didn't matter if it was Rodgers. It didn't matter if it was Jordan Love. So it was, I mean, and it's been a bad week because that's all everybody's been talking about in Chicago. Like, oh, man, they suck again. This was so bad. You got to change the scheme. No, I don't even think it was an overreaction. So we're gonna get more into that game. I want to go back a little bit to everything that we saw in that Buccaneer win. I will do that. But just overall on this bad boy, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Now, I was in the facility on Wednesday. I was there on Thursday. Same thing on Friday. Wednesday, I didn't know too much of a difference. Like, you know, they're kind of, for those of you that don't know, Tuesday is the off day. The coaches work on putting in the game plan. They've already seen all the film. They've gone back over the mistakes. They've studied the opponent so much. Now they got to put in the plan, the offensive and defensive plan. And when Wednesday morning hits 6 a.m., when those players start coming in, They are getting ready. They get loose. They do their little workout, and then they go in their drills, their position drills. They're working on fundamentals, and then of course they put in their game plans. The coaches do for the players. So on Wednesday, I didn't know too much of a difference, but Thursday, oh my God, hooting and hollering! When we got in that locker room, there was the bunch of the young defensive players with Yaya Diaby. I guess you can still call Joe Tryon Soyinka young, even though he's year number three. A couple of the other guys, they had the music blasting. They were dancing and singing. This is on a Thursday at what time? 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the afternoon. I mean, it was, I don't want to get too ahead of myself in my under the rock, but the games were going on. There was actually chess being played. Also, a couple of card games going on. Everybody was in such a good mood. It's game. It's, you know, you're going to have a home game. And it really was something to see. I mean, I don't even know if I experienced that all of last year with the GOAT there. Like last year, there was a lot going on. And it's just amazing with one win what it can do. But let's get into this game here before I get into my under the rock, okay? They lose to their rivals, Green Bay. I'm talking about the Bears. Now, Justin Fields, third year. This is supposed to be the year that Justin Fields takes that next step. He didn't. He was not good. He also did not have any help. He was under duress. There was no protection. He was also not getting rid of it fast enough. That was the one knock. One of the biggest knocks on Justin Fields is being able to read the defense and also not holding on to it too long. And again, when I looked at it, went back over it, I mean, he was under duress. He was not getting good protection, but he was also, there was times where he was holding on to it too long. There was actually a play where there were like three or four of the linemen that were facing him, which is never a good sign, but also some of it was on him. He was holding on to it too long. Now, the last time that Justin Fields was here at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, we got to go back 2 years ago. He was a rookie. And I really remember that game because my father-in-law bought tickets for the family. And my father-in-law is a big Buccaneer fan. He used to always have season tickets. Last couple of years, he'll pick out one or two games, and he gets good seats, down low, great seats. These seats were on the Bears' side, but we were down low. And I like being up in the press box. I get all the information. You get the stats. But you know what? He came through for the family. So I was like, okay, I'll watch three quarters down below. And I got to tell you, man, Justin Fields, he looked like a rookie. I believe it was his fifth start. This was 2 years ago. It was not good. Bears fans were so ticked off. They were gone. A good chunk of them were gone at halftime. But anyway, that was the last time that he played here. It's year number three now. Totally different. I know you can't go year by year. The Bears got to be able to run it. And they do have some talented backs. They've got this rookie, Johnson. All right. Now, he's got some skills. Last week, he was 55 yards. He had one touchdown. They still have Khalil Herbert. You got Foreman. So those guys are not slouches. But again, it starts up front. Were they getting the push? No. The Bears' defense, really, they were playing soft coverage against the Packers. Now, Jordan Love, the quarterback for the Packers, only had 17 completions all game. However, when you look at the yards per completion, it was close to 17, like 16 and change per completion. That's too much. And, you know, so, I mean, the Bears starters did not play in the preseason, the majority of them. And it is the trend in the NFL now. With the new collective bargaining agreement, they're not allowed to really have physical tackling practices, a lot of them anymore. And a lot of times these coaches are very leery of playing starters in the preseason. But it's going to come down to should I get off the pot? Like, what? Why even have a preseason game? Why are you charging fans? Don't get me going. Why are you charging fans full price? It's horse crap. You know, either have joint practices and go hard for 2 days. I know you want to make decisions on a couple of these bubble guys, but these preseason games, we've already had one taken away. I'm sure that you might as well just go to two. Why do you even have any three? But anyway, that's the thing. Okay, are the Bears that bad? Or was it because the most of their starters just did not play? Now, Jordan Love for the Packers, he got some reps and it showed. He looked like he was in game number five or six. The Buccaneers win on the road over the Vikings to me was huge because that is not an easy place to play. It is so loud. And like I say, when the players can't hear anything, you have to go on just snaps. How many offensive plays did the Buccaneers starters play? And especially on a brand new offensive line. Again, you got a new quarterback, Baker Mayfield. He hasn't had much time. He had that so-called competition with Trask, and they were both sharing number ones all training camp, all preseason. Baker Mayfield and the offense, it was a slow start because they were getting surprised by what the Vikings defensive coordinator was bringing. He was bringing blitzes a lot. And I even looked over at Sage. I'm like, there's guys coming loose without even being blocked. And it was trying to, you know, checkmate that. And here is new offensive coordinator, Dave Canales. Guys never called plays before. I don't care. If you've never done something and this is your first time, you're not going to be that good. It's your first time. How could you be great? And he's also trying to keep up, like, holy, you know, we didn't know we were going to get this. And he even said on Thursday, like, wow, it was hard. He said, it was hard. What a baptism. But they did great once they started getting into the rhythm. I mean, they turned that offense around. They made some adjustments. We all know about Baker Mayfield. He's a tough SOB. Stiff arming a DB. When they called for that quarterback sneak, he was not going to be denied. Now, he did have a sore shoulder on the injury report on Wednesday. And I kind of noticed, I mentioned to a couple of reporters, we're out there on Wednesday, and I'm like, where's Baker Mayfield? Mayfield is always near Trask when they get in that big line and they're doing the stretching. They all go out as a team. They never did this under Arians. Arians would always say, when it's time to practice, your ass is mine. Do your stretching on your own. But now they do it all as a team. They started doing this last year. And Mayfield is always, he's always ahead of Trask. Like, he puts himself ahead of Trask. He takes that initiative. He always did. But I didn't see his number. I'm like, what's going on? And then I look over. He was just wearing a black long sleeve, like one of those things where you try to lose some weight. He was wearing that. And then when it came time, they blew the whistle. They all come together in the middle of the field. Boom, you know, bang, and now they're ready to go in their position groups. And then he put on his jersey. But I noticed he wasn't throwing. He was taking handoffs. He was mimicking throwing on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, and it was strange on Thursday, they have the indoor facility. If there is a threat of lightning and sometimes even rain, because they don't want the guy slipping or pulling a groin or something like that, they will practice inside. There was no threat of rain on Thursday or lightning, and they started off indoors. Now, they started the entire practice indoors. Then the QBs went outside. They did that the last 2 years with the GOAT. That's nothing new. The quarterbacks would work outside. The rest of the team would work inside. We were there for 20 minutes. We're watching special teams, watching some of the drills, offensive line, defense. Okay, that's it. We got to go back to the facility. We're walking across, and I'm noticing here's the linemen. They're outside. Here's the linebackers. They're outside. So it was, I'd never seen that before. Either you're outside or you're inside with the quarterbacks outside. I don't know why. I don't know, but they're just changing things up. This is a new year. So that was a little bit different. But we did notice when we were walking by, Baker Mayfield was throwing. So I'm assuming that was just that sore shoulder. He should be fine. He should be fine in this game. All right. I tell you what, I would like to get to, and I always like to do this, it is my Under the Rock, okay? And this is, there's not many media members that are there for every single practice. I'm one of them. And you can count them on it and probably one hand, maybe starting on two, okay? So I want to give you a little bit something different on the biggest, baddest website here, joebucksfan.com. Honored to be on with the best informational site in the world. And here's what I saw. Now, there was a reporter going around on Wednesday asking players, the Bears are going to wear the blue. It's going to be dark jerseys. It's going to be hot. You're going to be wearing the white. You think that's going to be an advantage? So I just assumed. Well, we find out on Thursday that the Bears were going to be wearing their orange and not wearing the blue. You know what? Is it really going to matter that much? It might matter a little bit. It's going to be hot. These are these 1 o'clock games. I thought it was hot as hell on Thursday, even on Wednesday this week. You know, we're getting, wherever you're listening to us around the world, here in Florida, finally, like at night and early in the morning, it's kind of nice. But we're still hitting in the 90s with the humidity, the sun during the day. This is going to be a day game, the 1 o'clock start. The Bears are going to be feeling it. I will tell you that. Now, something else that I've noticed on my Under the Rock, and I hadn't seen this in previous years, Mike Evans and Devin White are buddies. I've noticed when they come out, again, Thursday was different because they started indoors. Mike Evans, the last 2 years, has always worked with a trainer when the position groups are starting and going on at the beginning of practice. This is after the warm-up. He's always been there. And the last couple of years, you've seen Fournette there, maybe Godwin. You know, he was coming off the surgery, rehab, and Russell Gage, you know, working with a special trainer, doing different agility drills, trying to work out their legs, whatever else they've had. Evan still does with the trainer one-on-one. He's still doing that, but he's, you know, high-kneeing, backwards, forwards, doing things like that. But what I've noticed is it's like, damn, Evans and Devin White are always like, they come out together. They're seen hanging together. Then when I notice Wednesday, I go in the locker room and there's Mike Evans playing cards with Devin White. I'm like, I don't remember that last year. Something to, is it because they're the two disgruntled money guys? I don't know. I just had not seen that in previous years. They've been hanging together quite a bit. The one thing that is so noticeable this year compared to other years is the offensive coordinator, Dave Canales. He has so much energy. And it's one of those things where I was starting to think, you know, when you get somebody that's positive all the time, sometimes it can start to be, is this too much? You know, you can't be that happy, that nice of a guy, that happy all the time. But you know what? He seems genuine. He did a hell of a job with Geno Smith. This is his time. He has been in the NFL long enough. He deserves to get this shot as the OC. But the difference this year, practice this week, the previous week, training camp, OTAs. The last couple of years, your quarterback's coach was Clyde Christensen. You had the GOAT. Christensen would run the quarterback drills all the time. Leftwich was the OC. He's the play caller. Now, Canales is the play caller. He's also, I know they have a quarterback's coach, and I'm sure he does a fine job, but Canales does both. Every single play at every practice, he's telling them exactly what he wants. He walks out the steps. He shows them what he wants. A lot of times Christensen would do that. Leftwich did not do that. This is not, I'm not like Lee. This is not a knock here that this Leftwich didn't do it. Listen, they won a Super Bowl with the GOAT. Yes, Leftwich was there. It's just that this is what Canales does. He's got so much stinking energy. So every single time, they'll be like, okay, say they're even going to just hand off. You got three quarterbacks, you know, hut, boom. They do their fake handoff. They spin. Now, here comes Canales. Okay, now I want you going this side. I want you going move this way. We do this. Boom. Now I want you to throw over here. Boom, boom, boom. Takes three steps. He goes over. He's going to pick up the dummies. He's like, and it's not an annoying energy. You know, and again, when you're winning, they won. Everything is good. But he, so far, like, he seems genuine, and a lot of the players say the same thing. It's infectious. When he walked in on Thursday, it was his time to talk to the media. He came, everybody, like, just anybody else in that media room, the studio, they don't want to talk to media. It's a part of their job they got to do. Let's call it like it is. And it's like they walk in, how you doing, guys? You know, they're pretty good. You know, Brady was always good no matter what was going on. Oh, I got something on that. Remind me from last year. But, you know, they do it. Here comes Canales. He basically, like, runs in. Hey, how you doing? Okay. All right, what do you got, guys? What do you got? Like, it's incredible, man. And maybe it's helped. Mayfield and Canales are really liking each other. And so anyway, I don't want to go too far in that. Now, I even asked Baker Mayfield about Canales with the game situation, the first time calling plays. What did he think? Were they on the same page? Was he getting it in fast enough? And he said, Mayfield's been pretty damn honest so far. He said, you know, I thought he did a good job. No. He goes, Dave thought that he missed a couple of plays because he wasn't able to catch up, that he was behind. That's what Mayfield told us. And then when we talked to Canales the next day, Canales admitted the same thing. He said it was hard. And he said, especially going up against that defensive coordinator, the stature of Flores and what he was bringing, And I was thinking, and I was trying to call these plays, and also they were bringing stuff that I didn't know was coming, and we were trying to, you know, counteract that, and I felt that I missed, and I was behind a little bit. So both guys were honest. I like that. You know, you're going to have that. That's only going to get better. We talked to a lot of the players on offense, including Hainsey, Wirfs, who else did we talk? Godwin. They all, especially the linemen, especially Hainsey. And by the way, you know who got the most props of all the players that I talked to in that Buccaneer locker room? Hainsey. That Hainsey put them, he is the QB, basically, of setting the offensive set when he comes up to the line of scrimmage. And Hainsey was putting them in all the right situations. Pretty much. Now, again, there were some guys that were coming through on block when I looked at Sage and we were looking at each other at Big Storm Brewing. So that being said, but they all said the same thing. They go as Hainsey go. And when we talked to Hainsey, he said he thanks Ryan Jensen because, and I'll give you a little Iggy, Ryan Jensen is there. He's at the facility every day, even though he's out for the year, and he's helping out. And how about that? Because a lot of guys, man, when they're out, they're veterans, they can't go. They'll be like, you know what, I got a rehab. He's there. He was there playing cards. He looks great too, by the way, man. But Hainsey said, I thank Ryan Jensen. And so Ryan Jensen has been a team guy. Would you expect anything different? I wouldn't. And so they were all propping up Hainsey. They really were. So that was pretty cool to see. Here's something funny. The so-called Mayfield stealing of the signs. Let me give you my under the rock. Here's the deal. Rashad White got his ass kicked. He got his ass blown up. He got in trouble. And I knew that. Rashad White is the young running back. Here he was. Doing an interview, I believe it was with Casey on Buccaneers, yeah, the team, and saying that Baker Mayfield figured out the signs. Now, here's the thing. It's not baseball like the Astros, banging the drum, using binoculars, having a guy out in center field, having cameras, spying. That's stealing signs. Mayfield wasn't stealing signs. Mayfield was observing when they would make these hand gestures. Here's what they're going to do. Hey, guys, I noticed something. Here's what they're going to do. We got it. I figured it out. The line, we were in the Bucs locker room, and NFL Network, I guess they got a new show, or I don't know if this is NFL Plus, but it was Baldy. It was Daniel Jeremiah. Was it Pelissero? But they used to call it Chiron. The line that was on the big screen was Baker Mayfield stealing signs. Okay. The other monitor in the Buccaneers locker room was the Pat McAfee show. They have ESPN on, they got NFL Network, and it was Baker Mayfield stealing signs. And it was like, he wasn't stealing signs. He was observing. He didn't have cameras. He didn't, You see what I'm saying? But it was so funny that was on the whole time we had the open locker room and here. So Rashad White got in trouble for saying that because that became now the Buccaneers irrelevant. Something to talk about. Baker Mayfield stealing signs. Well, he really wasn't stealing. But you know what? Mayfield tried to downplay it because when we talked to Tristan Wirfs goes, oh, we're not supposed to talk about that. But, you know, a lot of teams, you know, it wasn't a big thing. Canales said, I'm not talking about that. And he goes, Rashad got in trouble for that. Mayfield answered it. Mayfield, you know, he did that funny thing. I'm a Texas Rangers fan. I'm not a Houston Astros fan. And that was kind of funny. He does have a dry sense of humor. But he also said, hey, man, you're looking for every advantage that you can. Credit him. It's on an open field in a game. He figured it out. It's like a pitcher tipping his pitches. That wasn't stealing. And you know what he said? And then there was a follow-up. It was a reporter from Fox 13, Kevin O'Donnell. I think he was the one. How much did it play into it that, you know, it was an advantage for you? You know what Mayfield said? Quite a bit. Quite a bit. So good for Baker Mayfield. How about that? Now, I noticed on Thursday, I went out to my car, and it's the portion where we're not allowed to see, but I went out to my car. They were pumping in the crowd noise. This is when they were back outside practicing. So again, they started doing this under Arians, where they pump crowd noise with speakers at practice, even if it's a home game. And they were doing the same thing. I don't know if they're expecting. I heard that there were tickets available. I don't know if there's going to be. I'm assuming. Now, the Bears do suck, but there's also a lot of Chicago Midwest fans here in Tampa Bay. So I would assume, and thinking that the Bucs would suck this year after Brady, I would assume we're going to see quite a few Bears jerseys, and it probably will be loud. So I think it's a good idea for the Buccaneers to pump in that crowd noise. I did notice one little thing, like I told you, like the locker, it really is amazing after a week. Like I've been in it towards the end last year. What happens is the locker room is open for the media to come in. We all come in like a herd. We're standing around. You can go over to somebody's locker and talk to them. If they want to talk to you, they can. They don't have to. The big stars, they will bring over to the middle of the locker room. And last year, even though the Buccaneers won the NFC South, come on, man. We all know the deal, right? It was not a good year. Towards the latter part of the season, we would go in there, the players would be gone. They would be hiding. They didn't want to talk to us. They didn't want to talk, period. They didn't want to talk. The year was sucking. Now it's early in the season. They're energetic. They had that win. It's mentality us against the world, because everybody thinks that we're not going to be good and we're irrelevant. And so it was very, very lively. Very lively. And I did see guys playing chess. I told you last week on this Bucks Kickoff podcast on Joe Bucks Fan that they've got three tables now set up in the middle. They got couches surrounding, and they have chess pieces, a chessboard and a chess piece. Last week, I didn't see anybody playing chess. Oh, I saw guys playing chess. It was Chase McLaughlin. Who the hell? I wrote it down somewhere. I can't remember who he was playing. Oh, Kenny Britt, I think it was. But they were playing chess. And then the next table, cards. And then, of course, like I said, Jensen, Devin White. Even I saw Shaq Barrett get in there. Then Mike Evans, he was carrying his lunch. He steps right over the couch, on the couch, down, boom, eating, boom. Next thing you know, he's in. And it was just a lively, lively, lively week being at One Buck. And seeing. All right, I'm trying to think here if I'm saying. I wrote down another little segment here. I was going to say, what are they saying? What were they saying? But I got to tell you, I think I have pretty much hit on everything with Hainsey and Wirfs and Canales. Oh, the one thing that I noticed, it was kind of interesting. It stood out to me. Canales, when we were talking to Canales on Thursday. Canales says that he's been around. This isn't like he just got into the NFL, and he's been on good teams. All right. And he's been, you know, Seattle's had some success. He said that when he was standing on the sidelines and it was, you know, late in the game, he was like, it hit him. He's like, the vibe he was getting, he goes, this just feels like a winning football team, a winning football organization. That was the vibe that he got. He also said when it was going bad, and I heard this from several other players in the huddle, Baker Mayfield, see, this is where the experience comes in. When it was going bad and you're in that hostile environment and it's opening day and you haven't played a game with your offensive teammates, Mayfield was very calm, very, very calm. He wasn't down. He wasn't like getting too pissed off. That comes with experience. And if you missed last week, I told you what Mike Evans told us. The big thing for him in the huddle is if Mayfield has a bad play or the offense has a turnover or something like that, or somebody blows assignment or he overthrows or he, Mayfield's the same. Mayfield's the same. That's a good quality to have. The big takeaway for me with Mayfield was he didn't have a turnover. He didn't have an interception because that was his knock. That was the knock on Mayfield. He can turn it over. He can be a gunslinger. It certainly helps to have Evans, and it certainly helps to have Godwin. Godwin downplayed his catch. That third down catch, that fingertip, Mayfield told us that should have been the headline. Chris Godwin converts the third down on an unbelievable catch to help the Buccaneers win. That's what the headline should have been, according to Mayfield. But when we talked to Godwin, he was like, listen, none of this stuff that we did in that game was a fluke. None of that stuff was like, oh, that was just one play. We practice that stuff. We practice Baker or even Trask throwing it away from the defender, throwing it so they can't get it, throwing it outside. It wasn't a big thing. Again, that's Godwin. He's one of those guys that never wants to take any credit. And Mayfield is very, very fortunate, man, to have Evans and Godwin. Okay? I'm liking Trey Palmer. I will tell you this, too. We were there on Thursday for indoor, and they're working on special teams. They're doing the punt and punt coverage. It's Devin Tompkins and it's Trey Palmer. Those are your returners. Because most of these kickoffs are back in the end zone. You hardly ever see any kickoffs return. So you're going to see Devin Tompkins. He's the first guy, and Trey Palmer. Those are the only guys that we're receiving. And even when they're just going through, it's almost like a walkthrough, Devin Tompkins, watching him at ground level, that guy is such a fast little scat back gnat. His moves, he is so fast. Even if it's like a walkthrough, he's full speed. He's full speed with his cuts. Palmer's still pretty good too, but it's nothing like Devin Tompkins. Tompkins has so much energy. He's always bouncing around. He's jumping around. He's dancing around. You know, I predict Tompkins is going to take one to the house. Mark it down. I'm not saying it's going to happen this game. Maybe it will. He is going to take one to the house, and I hope he does. I mean, if he's your number one guy, you better take one at least. But that, you know, maybe he'll get it. Maybe he'll get it in this one. I want to alert you one more time to my favorite place to go. If you're thinking about getting a vehicle, you need one, new or used, the only place you go is to Sean Sullivan, and it's to Bill Curry Ford in Tampa. 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. It's on Dale Mabry. Family owned since you got to go back to 1960. You're doing it since 1960, family owned. That means you're good. You're good. Family owned makes a difference. GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally. All you have to do, ask. I want to talk to Sean Sullivan. Boom, you got it. Find Sean's email at BillCurryFord.com, or best thing to do, I like to go. I'm not an Amazon shopper, man. I like to go in person, stop into the dealership. Order a new vehicle now at BillCurryFord.com. It's easy, and ordering concierge will assist you. There's no deposit, and Sean Sullivan, their GM, is going to give you a $500 gift card. All you got to do is just place an order. And remember, always ask for that Joe Bucks fan discount, and you will get it. Every new vehicle comes with a lifetime warranty. That is, and it's a nationwide lifetime warranty. So start shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. Let's see. I wanted, you know, the thing about Mayfield is, you know what? It's football. I don't think you can tell him if he's got to run for a first down. I don't know if he's going to be able to have that mentality to slide early, if he needs to make it to cross that line for the first down, he's going to do it. Now, this is Todd Bowles, okay? He was on Sirius XM. And he said his mindset is unbelievable. This is a quote from Todd Bowles. He's a warrior. He's always encouraging the guys. He's kind of a quarterback, offensive lineman mentality. He'll stick his face in the fan just to get guys going. These guys follow him. They love him to death, and he is a great leader. Did you see when he was mic'd up or they picked it up on the microphone when he stiff-armed that Vikings cornerback Byron Murphy Jr.? He said, "Get that weight up, little boy." Now, Mayfield is, they list him at 6'1". He's 209. Byron Murphy is 5'11", 190. And of course, with Gil Brandt, he got the angry runs, number one on NFL Network. Do you know that I think it was Canales didn't even know about that? Mayfield did. He said he had some family members that were texting him the clip, and he was liking it. Now, again, he's the quarterback. They'd rather you go out of bounds. They would rather you slide. But again, that's his mentality. That's why he was a number one pick. That's why he is who he is. I don't think you're going to be able to change that. I don't. Just a couple more things on the Bears. Let's just go back. If you didn't have a chance to see that game, there was a lot of hype, man, because the Packers have had their number, and Bears fans were just sick. Sick. Team two of Green Bay kicking their arse. And it was the ninth straight time, nine in a row, even without Aaron Rodgers, that they beat the Bears. It was deflating, man. The Bears were 3-14 last season. The Bears have lost 11 in a row. It was the 10th in a row against an NFC North opponent. Now, it's one of two things for this game. It's either like desperation to turn it around, or are they that down? Like, how did you not come out fired up? You know, how did you not? It was just like what happened last year. Justin Fields' numbers, 24-37, 216, one touchdown, one interception. You had the new wide receiver, DJ Moore. He was only targeted two times, two catches for 25 yards. See, that's the thing. And they're aware of it now. Oh, and I got a quote. Actually, it was at the end of the week, and I got to give Justin Fields credit. I think he came out with this on Thursday. Here's a quote from Justin Fields. "I felt like I was a little bit too conservative at times during the game. Definitely with guys like DJ Moore, Chase Claypool on the outside. If we do have one-on-one on the outside, potentially throwing it up and just seeing what happens. With them, they're great playmakers. They can most likely come up with a 50-50 ball. Definitely want to give them more chances deep down the field." So you know what? That's a pretty stand-up thing for Justin Fields to admit it. Sometimes like, oh, they weren't giving us that coverage. Oh, they were covered. Oh, it was, it was kind of hard. He admits it. But that's going to be in his head. See, because Canales says he's never had that mentality where I got to force feed somebody, where I go with the flow of the game. What are they giving us? Who's open? You know, but now with Justin Fields saying, I got to just start throwing it up. 50-50 ball. They're really good. The Bears got to within two, minute left in the third. It was a Justin Fields touchdown pass. I believe he hit Darnell Mooney at the time. They went for two. Herbert, it was a run, converted. But the Packers then go on a 61-yard drive. Jordan Love, Musgraves, 37 yards. That was a killer down to the four. Love, touchdown, 31-14, baby. 13:30 left, and that turn out the lights. The party is over. It was all over then. Again, Green Bay had started slow in the first half, but Jordan Love with the three touchdown passes. It was only a 4-point game at the half. You know, Packers had two touchdowns first, two possessions of the second half, and boom. My key to this game, I'm gonna wrap this baby up now. There's no sense going all the way back. You saw the Buccaneer game. If you're here at Joe Bucks fan, you saw the Bucks game. We all saw it, okay? And I know one of the Joes, I think it's Lee. Is he the one that does? He thinks the turnover battle, and that's all crap. I'll give him some crap if that's him. I'll see him in the press box. But there is something to that. What is it? 7 out of 10? If you win the turnover battle, you're going to win the game. Don't play catch up. Don't give the Bears some confidence. Okay? They will, you know, get ahead. And I believe because this feeling that they won't be able to come back. They'll be done. Get ahead. You're playing at home. It's going to be hotter than hell. You're feeling good. You don't have a lot of injuries yet. It's early. That's what I want to see in this game. I know how the NFL goes. I'm not a homer. I'm going to call it like I see it. And what I see during the week, what I saw last year. Oh, I just thought of one more thing. I keep thinking of more things here. So Kyle Rudolph officially retired. Kyle Rudolph did an interview this, the former tight end, and he had been around, he was done, you know, and he said, and I noticed this last year too, or the last 2-3 years when the GOAT was here. For as big of a star as he is, he's a pretty damn good guy. And there's so many requests. So I remember last year, Brady's locker is the first, you come in the Bucks locker room, and if you were to turn to the right, he's the first locker, right next to the door. Okay, and then that's the offensive guys. You go down the list. There was a locker that had no name over it next to the GOAT last year. Then you had Gabbert. And I saw a lot of stuff in there. There was always stuff in there. And I just thought, oh, that's just overflow from Brady. Brady's been around, what, 23 years, 24, you know, he's got a lot of stuff. I just thought it was Brady's. Kyle Rudolph said that teammates were always bringing over footballs, jerseys, cleats, pictures, banners, and they would have post-it notes. Tom, can you say Uncle Charlie, happy birthday, you the man, or to my beautiful daughter, or my mother. And Brady would sign every single day. There would be something new in that locker. I had no idea. I saw the empty locker. So then I was like that, and that doesn't surprise me. He was that good. And even when things were going bad, when he was going through the divorce and he lost the weight, he looked sunken in his cheeks. And it was, if you've ever had kids and you've been through a divorce or you're going through a divorce, it's bad. No, it's not good. And Brady still would be one of the last ones to leave the locker room, and he would be signing for teammates. And this happened every single day. Well, I was like, who's got, I think Baker Mayfield has his locker now. And is somebody next to him? So sure enough, I said, let me see. So Mayfield does have Brady's locker. And then John Wolford is next to Mayfield. Then there's an open locker where there's a few things there. And then there's Kyle Trask. But I don't know if there's things in that locker for what, Wolford to sign. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. It's just interesting, but that didn't surprise me. All right, listen, guys, enjoy the game. Let's enjoy every single snap of every game, because you know how it goes. The season goes so stinking fast. It's a home game. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. I am predicting a Buccaneer win, and the Buccaneers are going to be 2-0 after this bad boy. Thank you, Bill Curry, Ford, Sean Sullivan. Go see him. He's the man. They are your dealership, best in the business, and the biggest, baddest, informational Buccaneer website in the world, joebucksfan.com. I'm Rock Riley. We got 2 episodes in the book, and we're going to come at you every single week for every Buccaneer game. This has been Bucks Kickoff. Enjoy the game, guys.